everybody. Welcome back to Ball Year Round Podcast. This is Andy and Mike. We're excited to have you guys back. We've had some, you know, pretty cool guests on this last week or so with our Thursday pod, which was fun. It was a draft, an all NBA draft of the Bucks. Lots of fun. As well as we had a great guest on with Chuck Frayne. He's now a Division II referee. So he had a lot to say and share about his story. And, you know, this week we're going to talk a lot about these current events that are going on, guys. Overtime Elite and Ben Simmons and all that. But, Mike, what did you think about Chuck's podcast this weekend?
It was a good time. You know, unfortunately, we had to cut it into two parts, you know, which happens sometimes. But he had a, you know, a long, long windy road in terms of his journey and his, like I said, his basketball of all trades kind of person. He's done you know, reffing, mascotting, and coaching, and did a little dabbled in playing as well. He had a year in college. That was a pretty funny story. But Matisse Thybulle's kind of his beginning and starting to play with like pro guys kind of started a little bit with his crossover experience, which I thought was pretty interesting to learn. But yeah, no, usually it's a pretty quiet week, you know, this end of August, September 1-ish week that we got here. But NBA woke up a little bit today, Tuesday or Wednesday rather. But Ben Simmons situation, we thought we were done with it. You know, seems to just not die. I thought it'd kind of be over by now. Like, we're not far from training camp, stuff like that. He said earlier this week, you know, he's not showing up to training camp, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then today, Embiid essentially, like, said the opposite of, like, you know, he's really, you know, he wants to play with Ben, and he's always enjoyed playing with Ben and sources, da-da-da. So what do you think of, you know, the latest development of the saga that is the Sixers? Thought we were done, but we're not.
Man, that's one crazy, crazy twist and turns of everything, my man. It's funny because, you know, you got Joel Embiid kind of, I think right now he's kind of changing how he approaches, you know, the other players on this team. Like, and I think he's kind of feeling like, you know, he wanted to be tough and the Sixers are tough and we like that. You know, obviously Philly's a city very opinionated and hard-nosed and is blue collar. However, what happened with all that is that it really, like, it seemed like they kind of, you know, just kind of chastised the kid, man. They didn't really give him an opportunity to develop after there was scrutiny. You know, there's been scrutiny on Ben Simmons' jump shot. And, you know, I think this past summer, he actually finally worked on it and he did take more jumpers. It's just, he's going to stick to what he's confident in, you know? And
yeah, I mean, there's definitely also some report of like Doc Rivers told him not to work on his jumper, not worry about shooting jumpers, which seems kind of, silly. I just, even if you're not a great shooter, you kind of just have to have the gravity still and shoot it, even if it's going to be, you know, 30%, you got to shoot it sometimes. Cause then you have what, you know, the defenses that like the Celtics and other teams would run on them, which they would just let him walk up to the 3-point line essentially and be like, we're going to cover everyone else and let a dude to sag a little bit like Horford on him or something. He's got the summer, the summer video going of shooting and stuff, but
that's been cool as gold. I think everybody's
happened before. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing with him is it's gotta be come down to strategy, and Doc Rivers and due to his credit with that statement, everybody sagged on Rondo and stood by the free throw line, and he still got Rondo to make assists and create and still win a title. And people,
yeah, Rondo eventually started shooting that too. And now he's like not a terrible 3-point shooter. Like he always kind of would take that like elbow jumper, which like if Ben just developed an elbow jumper, they'd be fucking a million times better. But I think the biggest thing to worry about is like, you know, Embiid stood up for Ben and is saying that he wants to play with him. Are they going to lose Embiid at least like in some that spectrum of the word lose, whether it's emotionally or whatever, if they lose, if they, you know, trade Ben, are they going to piss off Embiid? Because I feel like that's a horrible residual if that's the case. I thought Embiid would be down to be moving on, but
I call it on Embiid. I think Embiid Embiid sold out in the playoffs, and he really didn't have his boys back. And now that his buddy's like, yeah, you know what? You're right. I don't even mess with you now. Nah. Now he's kind of backtracking and like, dang, well, I screwed this up. And Joel is super competitive. and I know where he's kind of come from. I mean, if anybody watched a video of Joel while he was at Montverde, and why he didn't really last and stick at Montverde was because he was not very good. And that's a fact. And I know people that have said that. And
you're talking about that fast break video?
Fast break dunk where he was under the hoop and it looked super like, yeah, I don't even know. It didn't look right. And so at the end of the day for him, he doesn't have – like his credibility is awesome and he's done great in the league, but he was out for 3 years. It's like, dude, you should back this guy up, okay? Because Ben Simmons balled while you were sitting your ass on the bench and you weren't really bringing anything to the team. And now you're bringing stuff to the team and now you're going to discredit the guy that kind of like, dude, he gave you that opportunity to really truly be there. That was the whole thing, was because they had you too. Like, if we don't really watch Ben Simmons, why the hell would that weird tanking thing be legitimate?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people don't like the tanking thing too, unfortunately. Okay.
Would you tank if you didn't have Ben Simmons?
Well, no, I mean, I'm not a fan. I mean, I still, like I said in, before, like, they should be the best pick and roll duo, and they're not. Like, it's weird. Like, I don't know. Like, but the Embiid's come a long way with the – since that, like, falling out of bounds, throw it behind them thing. Like, that was hilarious. but that was – I mean, that was, like – 6 years ago or something stupid like that too.
Right. Can he lead a team, and can the ball, because the ball is not going to be in his hands anymore. It was in Ben's, and Ben was leading that squad. So
yeah,
that's cool. You don't like me, I'm going to leave. What can
he do?
Honestly, he can't bring the ball up. He's got to sit on the block kind of deal. So what is he, you know,
the funny. I mean,
I think they kind of picked the wrong guy. It's like you have Kobe and Shaq kind of, we're not going to compare, but it's like you have two guys like that are similar in all-star caliber and you have to pick between the two. And it's like they went the big man type of route as opposed to going to the guard that they could keep developing and see what they could do.
I mean, like you're saying, like that's definitely one helps the other kind of case. And it does seem like it's the front office maybe that made the decision to pick.
Yeah.
And they didn't want but I mean, at the same time, Simmons said, like, or at least his camp said, I don't fucking know. The quote out of his camp is like, he's not showing up to training camp, which you could essentially take as Simmons saying he's not going to show up to training camp. So, like, who knows where the hell this goes in the next couple weeks?
It's wild, man. And the tough part about it is the way the city went about it may not have necessarily been on how, you know, the Sixers front office wanted to go about it. However, they basically pushed out a kid that his confidence level and as far as his jumper goes is not great. So it's like, yo, are we going to build him up because he's a kid at the end of the day, right? He only spent 1 year in college. Like, how old is Ben, man? Ben's probably 22, 23.
Mm-hmm.
So are we going to help?
I'd say he's like 25. Yeah, he's 25 now.
He's 25? He's old
enough. Yeah. Joel Embiid's 27. He's 25. They should literally be like the dynamic duo of the league, and it's just not there anyways. I don't know if it's fit or
at the end of the day
liking each other, whatever it is. But
man, and yeah, I guess. But even so, man, it's like,
man, are we sure Ben Simmons likes basketball?
I think Ben Simmons, man, I think he enjoys himself. I think like playing the game is cool, but it's like, it's so hard to be elite in that league because, man, there's only a few guys that are really that hungry, man. A lot of guys are hungry for the bag, right? Everybody's hungry to get paid. And that's fine because the way our country and the way everything works, it's like, dude, if I get signed today, I'm going to make more than my parents ever made in their whole career.
Mm-hmm.
And so after I do that, a lot of guys, what I've heard is they kind of relax.
Yeah, I would too.
Hell yeah. I mean, in life, that's a part of what you should be allowed to have, is to relax and enjoy your life. And the best thing, like, and I don't even mean to go off topic about this, but is Luka Doncic. You know, he's living his life in Europe. He's enjoying himself and he's not posting every workout while Jason Tatum is. And Jason Tatum love, but buddy got the bag. So it's
Jack
like,
man, Tatum.
Yeah, man. You know, I love the fact that Tatum's on there. I love the fact he's got a little crew and a team that is posting these videos for him. He's not doing it. So Luka's over there doing his thing. And it's like, man, when is America going to worry about the quality of life, dude? Even on the highest level, these guys are expected to just work out, work out, work out, work out, work out. Never see your kids. Never.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm sure Luca's still like working out kind of thing, but like yeah. It's also it's just that's different folks, different strokes kind of thing. Like some people like to post, some people don't. Like some people want to post.
We're not holding Luca to post.
No,
a whole different lifestyle, man. Like, why does Jason need to post? Like Jalen Brown, where the hell he been?
He's doing a lot of work on his product line, and he's gonna be a politician.
He's a politician, dude. That dude is smarter than the like the 5% of America. And people just need to accept that and be like, dude, you need to go be a politician. I love the fact you want to shoot a hoop, but you have a better chance to impact this country.
He's 40. It's fine. He can't be president until he's like 40 anyway.
What they're all going to think?
Don't tell Jalen Brown to leave, please.
Yeah, they're all they're going to be like, yeah, you're just a basketball player.
The Jays until we get a ring, and then they can do whatever they feel like. Yeah, I mean you're definitely right, but there's time and place for everything in life. The Ben Simmons situation, we've talked about that. I feel like this is Ben Simmons year round. I think we've talked about it every month we've existed so far, because every month there's some new dumb shit because Ben Simmons falls off the Kardashian tree. No.
You saw he wants to go to a team in LA, in Cali.
Yeah, he's always wanted to go to fucking the Lakers or something.
I know. I mean, his girlfriend's out there. I said, hey, tell her to start a team, bro. The Kardashians, and you got a chance.
Maybe start a team. Overtime Elite, do they have enough teams? Or are they – is this all Fugazi –
they don't have enough players.
Situation going on.
Yeah. Overtime Elite is an interesting group of individuals. I think that they were able to trick a few people. Because like we're just trying to find out, like honestly we're not mad, I mean, but like the whole Sycamore case kind of, you know, coming up, you know, with everybody like, oh wow, this football team is a bunch of 30-year-old men, and I tell you to look at every prep school team for basketball and you will find the exact same thing. It doesn't matter. And even high school teams that call themselves preps have 20-year-olds on the team. And the unfortunate piece about this has been, you know, we're worried so much about money, yet we're not really worried about the facts and what's going on. And so, you know, you see this with overtime, and, you know, they're taking kids that are 20, you're taking kids that are 16, like the better players in the country. Great. I love the fact you're giving them an opportunity. But an opportunity to do what after they come through your league is a real deal. And so if you have nothing for them after your league, you're failing them and you're actually crippling them. And so who is going to be responsible for overtime's blunder?
Yeah, nope. I mean,
and that's the US, bro. Nobody's going to have to be able to deal with it except the kids. And we're just going to look at them. And we all just laugh.
Yeah.
I've had kids that are like really real life dealing with it that are homeless right now because they came here to play prep school. So what are we really doing right now? That
the NCAA will never talk about.
Never. So what are we?
That's all tied to feeding.
So what is overtime elite? And
feeding the college basketball landscape at the same time as AAU money and all that shit.
So what is AAU? What is
overtime league? Like, I think like as much there's two sides of this coin of like, I love that they're going after 16-year-olds and they're giving them an opportunity, giving them six figures, and they're going to make it like, or this is what they're saying. They're trying to make a league that, you know, is financially viable in that sense too. But like the number 40 16-year-old in a class could end up the number 200 ranked 17-year-old, 18-year-old, like very quickly. Happens every year. Like, so like you're saying, a lot of these kids, like, are they going to be able to at 18, 19 years old, be able to go overseas? I don't know. Maybe they just, you know, that's how the league expands, because that's another angle of this, is their proposal is a 30-player league. And it operates in one city. So, like, what is that? Four teams at most? Like, maybe five somehow stretching it? But, like, it just doesn't make much sense in terms of what I've read about it. And it doesn't seem like anything has come out since. Like, you look up overtime league tickets, can't find any. They talked about this overtime league basketball facility being built in Atlanta. You know, there's an article from months ago with this, like, 2K create an arena composite picture, digital picture of what it's supposed to look like, and talking about the, you know, what it's supposed to be. And there's literally an article from mid-August with the exact same picture. There's no pictures of the progress, and it's literally like two paragraphs long talking about, oh, it's bringing 400 construction jobs, blah, blah, blah. but like I can't find, like I'm not gonna go drive to Atlanta and look, but like it's not on the internet. So like what's happening? But they also raised $80 million from investors in April, this past April. So maybe it's just they said it's gonna launch in September, but they just said that so they could put a number on the board and they're gonna back it up for 3 months. Like I feel like that could happen, but
yeah.
I don't know. It's weird.
I'm not sold. You know, and what's crazy about it is like I was kind of cool with it, and you know, I was down because like you're actually gonna give an opportunity, but as you keep going along and you keep hearing nothing and you don't really see much online, you know, that tells me a lot of it's in-house and they're just telling people stuff on the phone. And you know, none of these kids even have agents, man. They're probably having their moms and dads call. It's embarrassing. I would never do that ever in my life. My dad would never call for me about my own deals. Neither my mom, unless they were like truly lawyers. But if you're not a lawyer, you have no idea how to negotiate. You have no idea on the market. You have no clue. And you're just kind of like going in it blindfolded. And, you know, I've watched that. And, you know, you watch recruiting deals, bro. They will even mess up a recruiting deal because like, oh, we want this, we want that. Be like, okay, cool. Like, we're not giving you that. And then they're like, okay, we're moving on to another spot. And then they'll go take less at a bigger school. It's embarrassing, man. And like, that's why I say all these kids that want to have their parents do deals, stop it. You're ruining your own career. And so yeah, now
I mean,
I'll just watch overtime.
And that's the thing. Like, it's kind of like that age. Like they're a minor still. So they probably are technically going through parents, at least in terms of signatures and shit. Cause they're minors. Like,
and guess
I don't know
what?
How that works like behind the scenes, right. You know, or
company.
Here's a bad sign. Here's a bad sign. They said 30 players, right? Man. There's currently 18 players listed on the website, including like two guys that were just announced like 2 weeks ago. So like, I don't
even touch it with a 80-foot pole. No chance. And so, like I say, I feel for the guys that are even, you know, considering that.
Yeah, I mean, silver lining, it says if they don't earn an NBA contract, is they have the $100,000 a year salary at least annually plus $100,000 per year toward a college scholarship in the event that they don't land in the NBA. So that means if they play 2 years, I guess they get $200,000 towards college. If they don't go to the NBA, which maybe, I don't know, maybe they go and play. I bet you this contract is all, you know, all that talk about $100,000 per year toward a college scholarship. That's if the league doesn't fold in 16 months, which happens like every other year. There's some new football or new baseball or new basketball league that pops up and just folds within a year because it's, you know,
yeah,
it's tough to break into that. Like, that's the other thing too. What are they on, overtime.tv or something like that? Like, are they going to be on ESPN? Are they going to, you know, stream through different services like Hulu or Amazon or something and go try that premium route? Like, how are they going to get exposure to really make money to pay these kids? Or is it all going to be off this, you know, $140 million that they've gotten invested in the last, you know, 7 years? I guess they've been a thing since 2016 and now all of a sudden they're like popping up, which is weird. It makes it even weirder that it's like such a quick, like, oh, like September's our date, we're starting, but we still don't have a stadium like in fucking August. Like, what? Like,
welcome to every, like I said, every prep school. I'm not naming them all, but every prep school I've ever
had. Bishop Sycamore is not it's more of a symptom of a larger disease than than an actual like anomaly. Like they try to,
making it like this is not normal. I was like, dude, I ran into this every other eighth month that I apply for a job, you know, trying to figure out where to go.
There's a lot of schools that aren't really schools. They don't have teachers and you know, other students. But
I'm laughing, bro. This is not a joke. Like I was a teacher.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
the other teacher
what's
was
crazy
like,
is that. What's sad as hell is that you have people that will laugh about it, but they sent their kids there and their kids aren't even elite players. That's the other piece. Like, so we're not even talking about the crazy part. We're talking about the kids like, oh, hey, I got a dream for you. And then you'll buy it as a parent and pay me $30,000. And then I'm flying in a kid from fucking Africa to come play for me that 7 foot. So Either way, bro, like, it's all a joke at the end of the day. Doesn't matter if it's football, baseball, soccer, like, they're all doing it. And since COVID, they have popped up everywhere.
Yeah.
Every city, every town will have a prep school team. And my thing is
it's like that charter school movement has kind of opened more doors for random money to just start shit and call charter themselves school and then
charter
talk to ESPN on TV.
Yeah. charter is real, actually. Like, charter, you have to go through a few steps, bro. Prep schools, you can just start one.
Yeah.
Charter, you have to, like, actually jump through a few hoops. You got to, like, get a few things, man. You can't just be – you know, a lot of these schools aren't even accredited, man. They're telling kids to come. And
talking about kids getting paid, Monty Bates officially goes to Memphis this past week.
Yeah, man.
Love that. I think that's a big win for the NCAA. A lot of people are calling obviously I'm not a fan of NCAA, but a lot of people are saying that overtime league that we were just talking about might take out the NCAA, but like we just pointed out, there's some holes in the overtime leagues plan, and this is another one of the NIL coming into existence the same year that they went live with their project after sitting on it since 2016, apparently. But Monty Bates to Memphis, man. What are we talking? National champs, Final Four?
Well, we're gonna see what Penny can do to mesh them. If I'm like the Orlando Magic and I'm watching Memphis, I'm like, dang, I need Penny. He got better players than we got. That's real. I don't care what anybody says. I mean, his three top players are better than all of our guys. They will all be drafted higher, minus Suggs. If I'm watching that, I'm like, dang.
Yeah, Penny allegedly turned down the deal to go to Orlando, right?
I would too, man. Shit. Memphis paying better. The FedEx thing is a big deal. We were talking about it a little bit earlier. I mean, like, it depends on who you're involved with. And a lot of these college teams, what they've done is they've went ahead and built their own stadiums, and they wanted to be their own entity because that's what it was about. However, with this new NLI, it's like Memphis having the FedEx Forum as their, home stadium is a huge advantage, because now I don't have to use Memphis money. I got FedEx money. So who can compete with me? And so that's what's going to make Penny get into the news and be like, well, damn, we can't compete with Penny. So now we got to make rules, because Penny's just killing us. Penny took Michigan State.
Yeah, I it's either going to go that direction, or you're going to see a quick flood of like 30 teams are going to have the top 30 companies. You're going to have Amazon, you're going to have Apple.
That's why I
sponsoring
say.
Guys in the Pac-12 coming, and bro. Shit. Like,
oh no, it's coming.
like Oregon's going to get Nike, and everyone who likes Nike is going to go Oregon, because they're going to get fat stacks and fucking shoes from Nike.
Oregon already has Nike. Oregon already has it. The problem.
That's all been under the table behind the scenes but now it's going to be official, and they're gonna have fucking the craziest.
You know what real companies don't like to do is official shit. So now I'm excited to see.
Keep that off the books
now. Gotta keep that off the books, baby. So now we got to see, like, Penny has been able to negotiate. Penny is being able to do deals that these other guys cannot do.
Yeah, pull them off
because
quick.
Of his, because Penny played. Penny knows these people. No offense to, like, I love Coach K, all these guys, and it's been amazing. However, they've had so much clout over riding guys that they don't pay, and them themselves have, like, been like, damn, okay, you coach Team USA, bet. Coach Cal has been the only one, though, that has had enough balls, right, Rick Pitino enough to go ahead and coach in the NBA. None of them will leave that college money, right? Coach K has NBA jobs every year. And if people don't think that, that's dumb.
He's doing the farewell tour now. He sees the writing on the wall. He knows he can't compete if private becomes public. Now.
Yeah. Guess what? Your name and your notoriety is not going to get that player's respect. You actually have to, like, gain their respect. And that's why I think Coach K became a better coach when he had to work for Team USA. and he had to work under Pop, and then he did his thing, and he actually won a ton of games with the best players in the world. But he had Kobe Bryant, he had LeBron James, he had all these guys buying into what he wanted to do. So I think what, you know, they're doing in Memphis, man, is it's revolutionary, bro, because now it's going to be like, as a college team, do I really want a Coach K that I groomed for 30 years, or do I want to take my road at a, you know, an NBA guy that's got a great personality that wants to work and grind and get it done in 5 years as opposed to 30?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he did some good things in the 30 years, but I'm not the biggest Coach K fan.
You think he'll make as much money as Penny's going to make in the next 5 to 8 years?
Oh, no. I mean, Coach K's retiring, so.
No, but in 30 years, is Penny going to be able to make the amount Coach K made in 5 to 10 years? Do you think?
Oh, you mean like revenue for the school?
Yeah, because at the end of the day, that's why we keep you. We're not keeping you just to win
games. I mean, on a relative scale, because Duke and has like the money coming in from ESPN and shit probably already. I mean, Memphis is going to get that money. Yeah, I mean, probably. You got to find the next Imani Bates too, kind of thing, if it's a 5-year span, because Imani Bates is going to be 6 months and done. He's going to be out of there.
He already found him, though. He already got Imani. He took Imani from one of the best coaches.
Yeah, but I know. You got to go get Paolo Banchero now. You got to go get, you know, the next guy, because that's the other thing with this too, is it's going to be 6 months and out for guys like Imani Bates still. Like, that's not going to change. So, like, they're putting a big investment, a big bet on that. Like, that it's more of like a long-term bet too, with like the branding of like, okay, Imani went to Memphis, like, you know, and Imani was part of FedEx and did these, you know, maybe he'll do some commercials or whatever. AutoZone too, I guess, has a big stake in this, because they're headquartered in Memphis, and I don't know if they're homegrown in Memphis or what, but it's gonna be fun to see how like the extremist goes. So like FedEx gave out a 7-figure deal for Imani and Jalen Duren. You know, at what point is it going to be so many different brands competing with that big money that guys, like you said, are going to, you know, pick like their favorite shoe or their favorite, you know, Apple versus Google or something. Like, you know, it's going to be pretty weird to see how that works out. But
that just seems to be reality. They have a broken system, and what they need to realize is that if you're going to put all the control in the money, the
floodgates opened,
and not the real players, then this is what you're going to get. So put it in the players' hands. That's what it's coming to.
I mean, I could see Penny Hardaway making a lot of money for Memphis in the next 5 years, but you got to keep getting those FedEx deals. And maybe next year he's competing with you know, Apple and all those other companies. It'll be interesting. But Paolo Banchero will probably, I would guess, would stay out west, maybe, if this is how this is going to work. Like, there's so many, you know, companies that probably would be willing to buddy up with a school. Plus, it's like, think of the angle of like, you know, like FedEx is a great one too, with like, you know, kids got to ship shit like for college and stuff, and like parents shipping stuff, like having that brand, you know, with you, like Amazon or something like that, or Apple selling all their freaking computers to a school and like getting that exclusive license. Like, this is going to be money shifting probably in a lot of different ways other than just players, like you're saying with the, you know, FedEx Forum. And
this just to me is like, everybody's so terrified to put the control in these players' hands. And it's hilarious, because guess what? Apple has no control, okay? Because guess what? You can go ahead and sponsor USC, and if USC don't get no players, you lost all your money. And people have to understand is nobody's playing for any of these coaches anymore, man. They haven't been playing for these dudes forever. These guys have been paying handlers, doing the whole deal, and that's why they're okay. Now you can't pay some random handler to take $100,000, because guess what? It doesn't matter to FedEx. It doesn't matter to these parents anymore, man. $100,000 is not enough money. We watch Zion
Williams. Yeah, you're not going to see tiny boosters doing anything anymore. At least to some effective set, which is kind of nice at the same time.
Yeah, all that fake
puts more shit on the books.
Like, let's really do something real. Let's see what we can do. And so, you know, I'm excited to see how college basketball. I'm sorry, I don't want to call it college basketball anymore. Moves along.
I'm calling the G League now.
I'm not calling it. I'm just calling it basketball, because that's reality. Because in sales, you get paid. In marketing, you get paid. But we call it amateur basketball.
Remember junior NBA at the YMCA? That's got to be the new junior NBA is whatever 30 teams come out of this with all the conference realignment and shit.
I know. And then they make you pay to be in that league.
right. Definitely. They'll get some licensing deal out of it somehow and sell some sponsors on the t-shirts. This opens the door for so much silly shit to happen in college too. They'll look like the European soccer teams with just shit all over their jerseys and the MLS teams with shit all over their jerseys for sponsors. But Taco got a deal.
Yeah.
Taco got paid by Cleveland. Taco Fall left the Celtics, unfortunately, but he's gonna get maybe he'll get some run in Cleveland. Like, I don't know. Jared Allen, Larry Nance are there. That's some good enough beef, but I mean, I still like Taco. I feel like he's developed so much in the last 4 years that he's been in the league, but he just kind of needs more of that opportunity. And we also kind of, I don't know. It is weird. I don't really like how much of a, like, it's weird. It's weird how like the fans would treat Taco in Boston, like as like a, you know, a spectacle kind of thing. And like, you know, hopefully that, you know, I don't have any better expectations for Cleveland fans, but like he could totally have like a Bobani kind of career. His wind is definitely better than it was a few years ago. And he's got a little bit more skill than people realize. And I think he'll be a fan favorite in Cleveland, but it was kind of always just weird how much people would like, you know, we're up 30 or we're down whatever. And people chanting for Taco getting the game. It's like, all right, everybody, chill out. Like, the guy's gonna play when it's time to play. Like, let's not make him all fucking embarrassed right now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's 7 feet, man. Everybody 7'5". Everybody loves that spectacle deal. I will say though, he has gotten a lot better. You've been working with Drew Hamlin, so his mid post to post game has gotten better. But I understand what Brad Stevens did.
Yeah.
I'm paying you that amount of money. And if you're really that good, guess what you'll do? You go sign with Cleveland. They're not going to re-sign you, and then we'll sign you back for the right deal. Right. That's stupid. You know, that's like business. And
yeah, there's not much room on the roster right now. Like, we keep bringing so many rookies.
You know, and like I said, even a couple guys that the Celtics may have signed were a little bit ahead of him. But, you know, it's like if those dudes don't sign, then guess what? Very good trading pieces because we paid them and other teams will be tricked into, you know, making that deal. And then we get Taco back at like a ridiculously cheap price. That's my thought if I'm a dealsman, you know, with as far as a GM would go, is I'll sign a few guys to a little overpay them. And if they stink, I'm going to unload them and somebody else will pay because, well, I already did it. And sometimes you got to be the first to the punch, man.
Yeah. I mean, Taco's, I think he's on like a two-way, he's on like a cheap ass deal. So I don't think he's going to get cheaper, but he's 25. So I think he kind of just aged out of our development slots. We kind of keep like a few spots on the bench at the end of the bench for just like, some teams do it with vets. Some teams do it with like insurance projects or insurance players. Like, but we do it with more of like development projects, guys like Tremont Waters was sitting there, Carson Edwards, you know, Grant for an extent. Taco Fall has been there for 3 years now. Semi Ojeleye was sitting there for 3 years until last year or two. But like we always kind of do that where we just tuck three guys at the end of the bench. Then once they hit 24, 25, we just say, all right, see you. Like, if you aren't good at the play, we'll see you later. It's rough.
I agree.
But yeah, I just wanted to give a little, you know, shout out to Taco as he leaves town officially. He was the only real movement today. So,
yeah.
You know, not much going on. But the other thing that kind of happened was the 2-year extension for Capella. What do you think of that? 2 years, $46 million. He's paid till 2025 now. So he's got 2 years left on the deal. Mm-hmm. And there'll be two more after that at $23 million a pop. You think that's good value?
I think it's a little high. But at the same time, what he brought to them this year, I think, was something that, you know, hey, they just don't want to lose. And I think they want to keep building on the success that they had this year, because obviously, I mean, we didn't all necessarily think or believe that, you know, the Hawks and Trae Young would have been able to, you know, surpass the Sixers. Number one was like a, you know, that second round was insane. You know, the first round even was very impressive. I won't say, but you know, the second round was truly like, wow, like this team might, like this team's for real. John Collins is worth the extension. Trey Young is worth that, the max deal. It's just kind of like they wanted to, I feel like, keep pursuing that championship stuff that they're working on. But, you know, as far as me personally on a guy like Clint Capella, I'd like to get a little bit more of a versatile center, but, you know, I get where they're at. I mean, the guy is, he has shown up every year, every time that he's been on the floor, regardless of where he's been, and he's gotten better every year. So
yeah.
I do, and, you know, from the player standpoint, I believe he deserved the money, you know, but if I'm a GM and I'm like, dang, like, I'm okay with like, dang, if we don't necessarily make it to the next level that I wanted to go this year or the next couple, I would love to find a way, because we've done so well in the draft, that we can find a center. And like center that might even be like a later pick, but it's somebody, because we do such a good job of scouting and also developing in that piece. Like, there's somebody that could slip to us that we can find, just like, you know, their draft picks this year. I mean, they drafted a guy, in my opinion, just like Trey Young, but he was successful, you know, and the kid from Duke, I didn't think he was
anything. You're saying Sharif Cooper?
Sharif Cooper and, wow, dang, well, what's the other kid's name? Justin Jazz.
Oh, Jalen Johnson.
Jalen Johnson, sorry.
Yeah. Sharif, what if you could shoot like Trey? No, but he is that ball handler, like primary ball handler, point guard player, like dynamic.
Hard to deal with. You know, so I think they understand the type of player to go for. It just comes down to the fact, like, you know, Clint's good, but what else can we, you know, assemble? But like I said, there's no reason to take chances, bro. This is not a league to take chances on.
Yeah, and I think it's like a good keep the band together kind of play. Like you're saying, 2 for 46, like, that's a little high, like, especially when you're looking at, he'll be like 28, 29, 30-ish around then. I think is probably worth that to the Hawks, but probably not worth that, like, say hypothetically he was on, you know, like the Jazz or something, or a team that isn't as Trae Young oriented kind of style of play. Like, you know, I think he's worth a lot more to the Hawks than he is worth to a team that doesn't use him right. Like, he's used really well in that group, and he's been reliable too. Like, he's, since he came to the league, like, he's been playing almost every game, like 80% of his games, and except for one season where he only played 39, but that was a couple of years ago. But yeah, I like it a lot. Like, I think if they're willing to pay to keep Collins and Capella and Trey and, you know, Kevin Herter and whoever else, you know, they want to keep in that core together, like, it's not a bad idea. Like, I think the fit is there, so it is what it is money wise. Plus 2024, 2025, like $23 million is not going to be that much money in 4 years. Hopefully the cap keeps going up, kind of thing.
That's true.
And, you know, you're looking at $23 million for a starting center. That's not terrible probably by then. But, I mean, it makes me feel better about Robert Williams' contract, because he's going to be cheap as hell compared to that in 4 years.
Absolutely.
But, I like to think Robert's a little more versatile version of Capella. I don't know if we use him as well as Capella's used yet, but I feel like that's coming, kind of started this year. But that's kind of it. I found a goofy list on a hoop site today, longest tenured players. Okay. John Collins is the one for the Hawks, ironically enough. So he just got his extension. I got some funny ones for you. Who do you think is the longest tenured player on the Pistons right now?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I never would have got this in a million years. He's like one of my favorite players.
Dang. Yeah, because I would have gone the Blake Griffin deal, so that's not it. And then, oh, shoot. Please tell me it's not a Plumlee.
I'll give you a hint. He's been drafted relatively recently.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, nah, I don't know any Pistons, man.
It's fucking Sekou Doumbouya, who literally got drafted like the draft before this last one. He's the longest tenured
player. He can hoop, though. He can ball.
Yeah, I like him a lot as a project player. Like, he's developing. He's going to be he could be interesting. He's got some, like, some Pascal Siakam with more versatility kind of skills about him. Steph Curry's obviously the Warriors. Rockets is Eric Gordon. Pacers, Miles Turner. Clippers is kind of funny.
Who's that?
Los Angeles Clippers, Ivica Zubac, who was a Laker for most of his career, I think.
Exactly, yeah. Came from the Clippers. Yeah.
LeBron's the longest tenured Laker now because he shipped everybody out of town.
That's awesome.
That's so fucked up. You know, he shows up, he just trades everybody within 3 years. He's the longest tenured player. That's hilarious.
Gotta love it, man.
Yeah, who do you think's the Miami Heat technically still?
Oh, it's gotta be Haslam. Gotta be Haslam.
Yeah.
His ass still there.
It says the like since whatever season, it gives the stats of like their time on the team, and his is since 2003, 2004. It's by far the longest. It's so funny on this list.
Easily the longest, yeah. Man.
He's a coach, man. I don't know why they're still trying to designate him as a player.
That veteran leadership nonsense that the league has going on, man, it's crazy. No new young guys. They just keep old vets in the locker room. It's like, damn, didn't they teach any of those vets that you got in there? Like, something? You got old vets and you got, like, these other vets. You got old head dudes and you got
– Yeah, that's like Vince Carter back in the day.
Yeah, why? Retire, bro. Jesus. Yeah,
you can still keep getting those, like,
I guess, six-figure
checks every few weeks.
Go hang out with your family. You're going to get a pension. Go hang out with your family, dude. What are you dribbling a ball for? You don't, like
– True, underrated thing. I don't know. You got a pension.
5 years, you got a pension. Like, get out of the league, dog.
I think he's just going to transition right into coaching. He's going to hang out till Spolster comes. No.
Or Haslam.
Haslam.
Oh, Haslam. Yeah, 100%. He's a real coach. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, coach from the bench. Like, yeah, I don't understand it.
Who do you think your longest tenured Magic is now? Vooch is gone.
Oh, Terrence Ross.
Yeah, 2016, 2017. Oklahoma City Thunder. This is a weird one, too.
It ain't Shaw. He'd be close, but it's not.
It should be, but yeah.
Yeah, you know what, man?
It's his running mate.
Yeah, I don't know who that dude is.
Lugens, the Dort man.
Dort?
Yeah.
Dang, I almost said the Dort.
That's crazy, though. Like, he's literally been on the team for, like, 2.5 years.
Yeah, how long? He won, like, yeah, Lou Dort's good. I like Lou Dort. I didn't know he was there the longest, though.
Yeah, no, that's, like, the craziest turnover. I mean, they've done the, you know, bring in superstars, ship out the superstars the last couple of years. So
they have.
They had a hell of a lot of pieces moving. Siakam's the longest Raptor. Gobert, and Beal ends it with the longest Wizard tenure. Hopefully that ends before the trade deadline.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. There's some interesting little tidbits in there. But what else you got going on today?
Not much, man. I'm going to, just finish up work. And after we that, we actually the rain is finally hitting Central Florida from that hurricane, man. So it looks like it's gonna be raining for the rest of the afternoon.
Getting a little Ida.
Yeah, we're getting hit with a little bit of it, and it's not funny, but it's just interesting that that it's hitting us now. Like, as far as the aftermath of rain, I know that a lot of it has hit Louisiana, Southern Mississippi, and some of these other states as well in the panhandle, but it hasn't really like washed over, any rain through Central Florida. So yeah, today it looks like some rain's coming through, and I'm going to be just hanging with the kids.
Yeah. Usually you guys will get some residual rain, like just off of that coming up through there kind of thing. But
yeah, I was surprised about the delay, but it's here now. And so, we'll just kind of get through the rain, and after that, man, hopefully everybody can get healthy, man. This the COVID thing has been, it's not even COVID, but it's any cold you get, you're scared of and you're nervous of.
Yeah.
You don't want to have that and give it to anybody else. So that's been what it's really been about, man.
There you go. Got some Grubhub or something.
How about you? What you got planned for the rest of the day?
We might go down to the park, shoot some hoop, play a little pickup perhaps. Yeah, we've been living at the beach the last few days, so I think we're going to go the opposite direction, go downtown to the park and putz around a bit. But
absolutely. Yeah. Guys, enjoy it, brother. That'll be – guys, have a great time. And just want to thank everybody, you know, taking the time to come out and, you know, listen and talk a little bit. Sorry, like, we've been talking a lot of controversial hoops on this cast, but, you know, we've all got our thoughts and, you know, just kind of wondering, you know, what the state of basketball is in, you know, as we move forward, because, you know, that's really what, you know, has been the talk is like, how is basketball moving and how do we kind of figure out the landscape? So we appreciate everybody coming on and, you know, hearing the opinion, and I'd love to know what you guys think too. So if anybody wants to interact, I mean, please, like, BYRP365 on Twitter, as well as Instagram, you'll see our updates. And then myself personally, I'm AJ Roshan 22 on Twitter. I'm always on there, man. I'm always, you know, interacting and talking with people. So please always reach out. Mike, where can we find you at?
Yeah, you can always, you know, hit up the pod's Twitter, but you can find me at Lenny Biased on Twitter and Lenny Biased _ on Instagram. I'm just putting edits up there these days. But yeah, definitely, you know, subscribe to the pod, shoot a review if you feel like it, and keep a lookout for this Sunday. We'll have part two of Chuck Frayne's pod. If you want to get a dose of what the, you know, the West Coast Seattle basketball scene is, definitely check out his first pod and check out part two when it drops. And shout out again to Nihilist Bucks for shooting the shit for like 3 hours the other day and entertaining our Bucks franchise idea. That was a lot of fun. Hopefully we'll see him again soon. But yeah, see you guys later.
Definitely, man. We'll see you guys on Sunday. Take care.